Open your Bibles to Ephesians and also Colossians chapter 4. I want to bring a very important lesson today on how to maximize your moments in time. And we're still on the theme of being empowered and empowering others. So empowerment is our theme so far for this year, in fact, for the entire year. And one of the greatest keys to being empowered and empowering others is understanding the concept of time as it relates to God's purposes in your life. Again, the word empower means to help people gain power or authority to do something great. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Newer versions say, NIV says, that making the most of every opportunity. And that's the real good meaning of redeeming the time, is making the most of every opportunity. Colossians chapter 4, verse 5 says, "Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity." Say, "I will make the most of every opportunity by the grace of God." So redeeming the time, or making the most of every opportunity, is really a word that came out of the sense of, in the commentary, say this, merchants, many years ago, merchants and people who were involved in trade, they would really observe the proper time for buying and selling. They would pay attention to when to buy, when to sell. In fact, today it's done with the people who are investors, do the same thing. And there's always an opportune time to do something. And that, so the word redeem the time came out of that idea that the merchant who knows the value of something is then seeking the best opportunity to buy or to take action. So then we today follow the same concept that redeeming the time is not just about time management. That's a different lesson. How you manage your time, clock time, is one thing. But this text isn't talking about managing clock time, but how to manage your life, how to manage the time you have in your life. And he says here, we do this, he says, verse 17, again, don't be unwise. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Then verse 15, 16 again said, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Interesting phrase. Why would he add, because the days are evil? Well, the idea here is that life presents so many challenges. There's so much in life that can go wrong. There's so much in life in which there are people who are not there to help you. There are just things that happen you cannot control. In other words, because the days are evil, days are troublesome, you have to really recognize that some opportunities are going to be hindered just by the days in which we live. So it's not like you can not do something today thinking that, well, I'll do it next week or I'll do it next year. You know, we can't think like that. Days are too evil for us to say that or assume that everything will be in place next year to do what I should do this year. He said, no, make the most every opportunity because the days are evil. Amen? And there are people around you. Sometimes circumstances change. For example, I remember when we had our preschool, one of the reasons our preschool did not continue was because the state got into the preschool business. Now, we are tuition-based. We charged. We had some people coming in on vouchers and such like that. Whereas when the public schools began doing all-day kindergarten, and then charter schools came along doing the same thing, and some offered daycare, that hurt our business, right? Because here it was, Jesus over here, free over there. People take free over Jesus. We couldn't offer our services for free. So some, you know, made the choice, I need to have that free thing going. I respect that. But my point is, we did it for 15 years, very successful 15 years, blessed a lot of children, laid foundation for lots and lots of children. It's a great season. But the season changed because the days are evil. Well, it wasn't evil that they got all their kindergarten in schools. I'm saying that the point is things can destabilize and foundations can shift right up underneath you. So you do things while you can. Amen, somebody? We've had some nice weather. I was outdoors yesterday. I got out yesterday. And I pronounced on Friday, winter's over. My wife said, don't be deceived. I know that. I just felt like, you know what I'm saying? I felt so good. I lost my mind for a minute. But listen, that's what's like. When the opportunity comes, seize it. If it's a nice day, take advantage of it. Because it may be snowing next week. Because it's still February. Amen? Well, that's the ideal here. Make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Redeem the time. Seize the moments or opportunities that are ordained of God. Walk through the open door while it is open. Here's a quote from a man named Leonard Ravenhill. The opportunity of a lifetime must be seized in a lifetime of the opportunity. Good quote, isn't it? Yes, seize those moments, those times. When the door opens, walk through it while it's open. God said, I set before you an open door, no man can shut. Jesus said, let me jump ahead for a moment. Jesus said, I must work while it is day. For the night comes, no man can work. All right? So he understood that too. Let's go now to Luke chapter 9 and verse 51. Jesus seized the opportunity. He only had 3.5 years. Think about that. I've been in ministry for 35 years. He's in ministry for 3.5, at least as far as this, you know, adult ministry. Luke 9:51 says, now it came to pass when the time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. So Jesus knew it came time for him to go and become the sacrificial lamb. When that moment came, he steadfastly, Bible says, set his face. The Amplified Bible says, same verse, now when the time had come, when the time was approaching for him to be taken up to heaven, he was determined to go to Jerusalem to fulfill his purpose. New Living says, as the time drew near for him to ascend to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. So the idea is, when the time comes to do something, do it. When the opportunity is there, seize it. If the purpose of God is in that action, we take the action. This phrase here, steadfastly set, means this. It means to make stable, to place firmly, to set fast, to fix, to strengthen, to make firm, to render constant, to confirm in one's mind. So the idea is steadfastly set. It's when we say make a decision or take a decision. But more than that, it's a mindset that sets, that puts you in a firm place. A lot of people are not very stable in terms of their approach to life. A lot of folk are just not really on a firm foundation. Some folks say, I'm going to do this today, and then forget tomorrow what they say they're going to do today. Or they make these plans, don't follow up. People say all kinds of things, it never happens. Now, some things we should change our mind about. But sometimes we ought not, at least, don't be giving us shifting and changing. The Bible says, in fact, don't be around folk who change. Some people are changeable like that. Don't make friends with folk like that. But so Christ steadfastly said, set his face to go to Jerusalem. He was stable, obviously. He was firm. He was fixed. And the Greek word also has the idea to turn resolutely in a certain direction. Set one's face. So you're turning resolutely with resolve in a certain direction, right? Sometimes people aren't clear on where they're going. Now, none of us are always clear on our whole future. It's not the point. The point is, are you clear on what God's saying right now? Listen, y'all, it's an important concept here. The concept is what God said and what God is saying. They're related but different. For example, remember when God said to Abraham, go offer up your son on the altar. Remember that? And so he got the wood and the fire and took his son up there, go up the altar, and was going to sacrifice his son. Now, he knew that God had a plan, but God said, go sacrifice your son. So he got to the top of this hill and laid his son out there, and the son is saying, Daddy, I see the wood and the fire and all, but where's the sacrifice? He said, son, God will provide for himself. He didn't say, you're it. He knew God had a plan. Watch this, though. God said what? Offer your son. He prepared to sacrifice his son. Then God said, hold up. There's a ram in the bush over there. Now I know you love me. It's a test. Now I know you love me more than your son. So what God said was changed by what God was saying. Now, had he been like some folk, well, God told me, I got to kill my son. He's dead now. God, yeah, he said that, but what's God saying now? Amen? Amen? Somebody got the concept? God's not through talking now. He's not, whatever God said, he's still saying. He won't, listen, y'all, God is alive. He's not some dead God. I got a whole bunch of instructions he set in stone, 30 years ago. So keep your ear open. What God said, what God is saying. You got that? Very important. So then Jesus set his face, turned resolutely in a certain direction. And so that he became established, he became firm. And this is, why Jesus, of course, is our Savior. Because what he had to do for us, it cost him his life. Extraordinarily painful. He suffered greatly on our behalf. He set his face to do that for us. Other uses of this word, the same word, the Greek word used for steadfast is set, is also this word in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. But the God of all grace, who has called us to glory in Christ, after you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Same word, steadfast is set, establish you. So sometime after your season of suffering, well, not sometime, all times, after you suffer going through something, what happens is through grace, you become perfected, established, and strengthened. Y'all receive that? Another use of the same word, Revelation 3 and 2, it says, be watchful and strengthen the things that remain, that are ready to die. For I've not found your works perfect before God. So the same idea is that God wants to establish us. But really, we must accept the call of God and then set our face. We must be resolved. We must be clear. That's what God uses. It's also faith. It's a form of faith when we are established. We make up our minds to serve God and do God's will. It's really a sign of faith. Another scripture, Luke 22:32, Jesus said, I prayed for thee, for Peter, I prayed for you, and when you're, that your faith failed not, and when you're converted, strengthen your brethren. When you're converted, Peter, when you get right with me, your heart, your mind get right, you go and strengthen other people. That's called being empowered and empowering others, right? Same concept. So then, time is a framework. Say time is a framework. But moments present opportunities in time. Time is a framework, but then the moments are the opportunities. We say maximize your opportunity. Well, maximize means to increase to the greatest possible amount or degree. Make the most of it. The maximize is not a Bible word, it's our word today. It means the same thing. So we want to maximize the time by taking advantage of the opportunities. Go go a little deeper here. Time is like looking at a calendar. We got calendars. We have them on our phones, our laptops. We have wall calendars. The calendar shows you the month, various months, the whole year sometime at a glance. And that is, for you and us, that's time. For you and me, it's time. That's the concept. That's the framework. But we know that having a calendar on the wall don't mean nothing. Staring at a calendar doesn't really mean anything, except that you understand there is something called time. There's a concept called time. But the thing is, we have to have moments. Moments are like selecting dates on the calendar to take action. Say moments. So when you look at the calendar and you pray and think and plan, and you go to that calendar and you put a date in there, now that's a moment. You've made a moment out of time. Think about that. I remember the day I proposed to my wife. That was a moment. Great moment. You know, she said yes. Of course she had to say yes. Can't say no to me. You know. Can't say no to me. I'm Adonis. All that. Well, I got time, but we were dating, and she did say, you got to go, because I got saved, and you're not saved, and I just can't roll with you anymore. I'm like, whoa, I need to get saved. I got saved. Now, I got saved behind that. Now, some guys say they got saved. I really got saved to have her, okay? Have God and have her if she would take me back. The point is, these were moments, see? Moments when we said things, did things. She made a decision. I'm a Christian now. And I got this guy around me. He's not saved. I can't continue dating this Brian Hudson guy, you know. So she made a decision, made a moment, take a moment in time, and made it clear to me, you know. It wasn't really clear like she just lectured me or anything, but it just happened, you know. But my point is, those are moments. See, moments are how you maximize your time. This contemplating stuff and staring at the screens and the calendars and all that, you know, and the dreaming about it and all that's fine. But till you commit to moments in time, then we're not going to do what the Bible says, redeem the time, make the best opportunity of the time because days are evil. You can only redeem the time or make the best of the opportunity by exercising your right and your grace from God in moments of decision. You ever receive that? Very important. I mean, it's very important. I mean, it's how you got this far. It's how you got yourself through school, how you've maintained your life and, you know, and kept your finances going and how you've managed to stay on your job, be good at your job, and get through school. Amen? I mean, to go to school and get through school. Remember, we had some youth years ago, a couple of youth, well, one in particular who had one of those 21st century scholarships. You still doing those nowadays? Okay. I mean, basically, it's an opportunity to go to college, have it paid for. And one of the young men I was working with, I found out he had that, and I asked him what he's doing. He wasn't doing anything. I said, dude, come on, man. This is a major opportunity. This is an opportunity. He had a time concept, but no moment concept. So what have you done so far? Nothing. I said, listen, I'll pick you up next week. We're going down to Cavanaugh Hall. You know, Cavanaugh Hall, IPY campus, where you sign up, register. Took him down there. All right? Trying to create a moment for him, okay? So we got there, walked in there, and went to the administration or registrar area and got him signed up. Registered enrolled first of all. I got to enroll, then register, right? Enroll in college, then register for classes. Got the whole process going, helping him have these moments in time, redeeming the time, making the most of a 21st century scholarship opportunity. Amen? Yeah. Just show up, man. Well, he showed up. Well, I showed him up. You know, I took him down there, which is, I mean, that's our role, isn't it? To encourage people. Take the horse to the water. Amen. Yeah. That's part of our job. It is. But what you cannot do is what? He had one thing to do. One thing only. Make a phone call. Or go to the high school request transcripts. Just ask them for the transcript to send it over to IUPUI, and that's the last step. You're going to be enrolled and ready to register for classes. Didn't do it. I followed up on it. Didn't do it. Never did it. See, so now that opportunity is come and gone. Like we read earlier from Leonard Ravenhill, the opportunity of a lifetime must be seized in what? The lifetime of the opportunity. And he missed it. Now, his whole life not ruined because of it. But sometimes people miss things that God has for them. And I've missed a few things myself. Not many. I've missed a few things. But I try not to miss anything that God says do. Because I recognize it's not just for my benefit. It's for the kingdom of God, for my children. It's for the church, for the community, it's for the whole, wherever I go in the world. Whatever I can do to maximize my moments in time will help me bring God in that situation. So you don't do it for yourself, do it for other people. Amen? If you can't feel it for yourself, feel it for somebody else, because somebody needs what God's put inside of you. You believe that? So then, moments are like choosing dates in the calendar. Actions like prayer and studying and resting or working or meetings and writing and teaching, training, being trained, all these are moments strung together. Moments. Prayer time is never wasted time. Prayer time is never wasted time. Prayer is the best thing that we do. And it's always a good thing. We never waste time. Now, I do waste time. I watch some of the festivities. I watch the basketball game. I watch the three-point competition, dunk contest. You know, I wasted some time last night. I had some time to waste. I can waste time if I want. Just my time. Leisure is not bad. Resting is not bad. Entertainment is not bad. It's a part of, but don't just be totally focused on entertainment and rest and recreation. And by the way, I see that Indiana Hoosier basketball player, IU, won three-point contest, Eric Gordon. And then a Pacer won the dunk contest. It was a lame contest now. It was pretty lame. But two Hoosiers won. Amen? So I enjoyed that. So that's a moment for me, a moment of enjoyment. My work was done. My message was almost ready. I'm here prepared. Didn't mess up my time in preparation. So then it's not saying that, we're not saying that we are never going to have leisure and enjoy life. We're going to enjoy life immensely. But because we understand the time, concept of time, redeeming the time, and moments, we know how to balance our life out, where we serve God, take care of our loved ones, do our jobs, and have time for recreation and rest. Amen, somebody? I'm going to show you a video by Denzel Washington. He gave an acceptance speech at a ceremony. But what he said was very, very strong. Helpful. Watch this. It'll bless you.
Thank you. Tennessee Williams, Arthur Miller, Eugene O'Neill, Edward Albee, August Wilson. August Wilson is one of the greatest playwrights in the history of American or world theater. It is a privilege, an honor, a responsibility, a duty, and a joy to bring his brilliance to the screen. I am particularly proud and happy about the young filmmakers, actors, singers, writers, producers that are coming up behind my generation. In particular, Barry Jenkins. Young people understand this young man made 10, 15, 20 short films before he got the opportunity to make Moonlight. So never give up. Without commitment, you'll never start. But more importantly, without consistency, you'll never finish. Keep working. Keep striving. Never give up. Fall down 7 times. Get up 8. Ease is a greater threat to progress than hardship. Ease is a greater threat to progress than hardship. So keep moving, keep growing, keep learning. See you at work.
What Denzel said is so impactful because that young filmmaker had to make 20-some-odd short films, to have the opportunity to make a feature film. And he encouraged young people about the importance of beginning, but more importantly, he said that consistency will help you finish. Right? Then he made the point there about that ease is a greater threat to progress than hardship. The thing about ease is ease doesn't make you want to maximize moments of time. Ease just wants to sit back and enjoy time. I got time. But hardship make you focus on what moments do I need to take in time to address this hardship I'm going through. So hence I mocked that song, going up the rough side of the mountain, up the rough side, mock the old people up the rough side. I'm a man of faith. I believe in the smooth side. We know life has both. But the rough side, you learn the best lessons on the rough side. Not because God is more of a God there, but because we focus more. Look like we are more focused in hardship than in times of ease. That's the point I think that Denzel's making. And of course, he closed by saying, you know, stay encouraged, all that, go to work. I see you at work. Therefore, faith without works is dead. And moments in time are where we get to take advantage of the opportunities. Whereas ease, now then ease is a part of life now. But watching the dunk contest last night, watching three-point contest last night, I didn't get nothing out of that. It did nothing for me. I just liked it, you know. But it had no bearing at all on my purpose in my future. Whereas when I study, when I pray, when I do research, when I write, when I listen to people who are talking about things of God, listen to Denzel, I mean, I gain something from that. I'm empowered by that. You're more empowered during seasons of hardship than seasons of ease. Not because God isn't present at both. We just seem to not pay attention as much when we're at ease. All right. Here's some points about time. Let me share this with you. Time is a gift. Say time is a gift. Time is holy. Say that. Got some slides for this one, too. Time cannot be replaced. Say that. Oh, no. Mm-mm. Can't go back and do it over. No do-overs. Not in terms of time, but in life you can have do-overs. Time makes you realistic and practical. Say that. Time reveals opportunity. Say that. These are obvious statements, but it's important to say it. Time moves in one direction only. Say that. Now, I'm a science fiction guy. I like Star Trek, Star Wars, all those people doing time travel. There's no time travel. No wormholes. Not big enough to go through and survive. If you get into a wormhole, you won't come out. You're going to be disintegrated into bits and atoms. So time goes in one direction, forward. Time, you have less time than you realize. When you get older, you're more aware of that, you know. You're saying more and more goodbyes to people, you know what I'm saying? Time is a non-renewable resource. Same as previous statement, can't be replaced. It's a non-renewable resource. Time is like oil. You know, once you burn the oil is gone. If you burn wood, you can grow more wood. But time is not renewable. All you have is what you have. You have no more time than what you've been given. Amen? Or what you have left. Time requires planning to be useful. Again, the idea of moments. You know, there's a time concept, time framework, and then moments in time. Moments where you make time useful. Time is a small slice within eternity. to fulfill God's purpose. Say that. Time is a small slice within eternity to fulfill God's purpose. So God's eternal. You know, we'll live eternally, you know, after we physically die. But in this physical world, you got this much time to do whatever you're supposed to be doing. It's a sobering thought, considering how short life really is. And number 11, times and seasons govern all activity. So then, for example, times and seasons, I interpret as this. The time in that context is the beginning. The season is duration, time and seasons. Okay? So, for example, winter officially began, what, December 21st, December 20-something? And will officially end March 20-something? Yes. And so there's the time and the season. But then think about it. When you're going from fall to winter, you're not exactly clear when one ends, because there's crossover. There's cold days and there's warm days and more in the beginning and end. In the middle, like now, you know, it gets weird, you know. The point, though, is time is like the time is not predictable that way, except that there are times and seasons. Now, in God, we can rest in him. That which he has begun in us, he will complete it until the day of Christ. He promised that. So what's good about being in Christ is we don't have the uncertainty that we experience in the world. Sometimes we experience so much destabilization in the world, we transfer that thinking to our spiritual walk. Don't be confused. All this mess out here is not in the kingdom. There's no foolishness in the kingdom. There's no deception, lying, and all that going on. So what you see around you, that's why we pray. We pray and we worship. We spend time in the Word to keep ourselves connected to the reality of God. Amen. Otherwise, the world could overwhelm you. Amen. Bible says, fret not because of evildoers. Evil folk make you fret. Like, what's he doing? What did he say? What? What? Come on, somebody. I'm fighting hard not be specific up in here. But foolish, despotic people do foolish, despotic things. But you can't fret about that. Fret not. We can observe it. We can call it out. We are watchmen on the wall. In fact, we are called to call some things out. You have to know when to call it out and stop calling. How to talk about it and stop talking. Talking is not what makes a difference. Talking raises awareness, but prayer makes the difference. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So I'm going to talk about stuff. And I do on my Twitter feed and Facebook. Not here. From the pulpit, I won't much. But I will give principle from here. I will. I ain't afraid of nobody. I'm on the Word today. Amen? Amen. Giving you a word so you can manage the world. The Word helps you manage the world. Number 12, time is the basis for all good decisions. So this concept of time and moments of time become the basis for you making good decisions. As he said, as Denzel said, ease is a greater threat to progress than hardship. And again, that's because when we're at ease more is about wasting time and failing to maximize moments. That's what ease is, wasting time, not maximizing moments. Whereas hardship, while painful, usually causes us to take effective action. You know, pain in our body is unpleasant. But pain often serves an important purpose. There's a problem to be addressed. And the pain just says there's a problem here. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. Paul understood the importance of maximizing time and resources. He said this to the people of God through Timothy, to his son, and also to the people through Timothy. Verse 17, he says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good. Let them be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, stirring up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Now, what he says here, don't tune out. What he says here, command those who are rich in this age. Don't you say, oh, no, I'm not, that's not me. I'm not rich. Don't tune it out. Because I always say this, in comparison to other people in the world, most folk in the world, you are rich in comparison to. So, relatively speaking, you are rich. But at least take the advice anyway. He says, so then here he said, to those who have resources, who have stuff, who have money and things, he says, first of all, don't be haughty. Haughty is no proud and arrogant. And don't trust in your uncertain riches. Don't trust in this physical stuff. Now here come the moments. Here are the moments in time. He says, verse 18, let them do good. Doing good. That's moments. See, doing good, when you help people serve God, do things in church, in the community, all that, that's doing good in a general sense. But those are moments in time that help you maximize your time. He says, rich in good works, ready to give. Giving, you know, tithes and offering, helping us with the building fund and missions, all that. Those are all moments that are maximizing your time and for other people as well. It says, and willing to share, he says, willing to share, sharing what you have. And then verse 19, here is the result of it. He says, all right, so taking these actions, these opportunities, making the most of them, he says, verse 19, here's the result. Storing up for yourselves a good foundation for the time to come. Amen. So your actions you take early in life lay foundation for your later life. And it's true. How we maximize moments now lay for us foundation, good foundation for a time to come. Laying hold on eternal life. Not meaning that laying hold on, you know, salvation, but eternal life means the benefits of a God of God's life in us, Zoe life. You know, we have life now. We're already born again. We're already, listen, y'all, we have eternal life now. That's why when your physical body dies, you don't die. You don't get life when you die. You better have it before you die, amen? So you can transition out of here from the physical to the spiritual. So the idea here, the concept is the same. Again, opening scripture said, it said that let us redeem the time. Make the most of opportunity because the days are evil. Don't be unwise. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Then Colossians again said, be wise in how you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Outsiders. That's a phrase meaning obviously non-Christians. Outside the kingdom. It's important how you walk with those outside the kingdom. Because opportunities you need in your life often come from people who are not in the kingdom. Most of you work for unsaved people. We work in a worldly, sinful system. It's no problem. We're designed, listen, y'all, we have the capacity to be fully functional in society and in kingdom. That's why I don't appreciate people at the Starbucks, McDonald's, talking about have a blessed day, all that. I understand why they say it, but I ain't got to hear that from you on that job. Get my coffee right. I've had people be so spiritual, they got my coffee wrong. You know what I'm saying? You've been so spiritual that I asked for 2 Splenda light cream. And you're so busy trying to bless me until you mess my coffee up. Don't take it wrong now. Have a Christian attitude. But if the boss say don't bring your Christianity to the job, don't bring it in there that way. God told me, well, go ahead and do it. See what happened. They fired me. Well, look at there. Go start your own Christian company and always talk about Jesus every day. Now, of course, our light shines. And you don't work all the time. There's something called before work. There's after work. And there's lunchtime. It's time for you to talk about Jesus. So Christians recognize we maximize, he says, be wise in how you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Work that job. Get that money. Get paid. Get yourself paid. Get you know what I'm saying? Get promotions. Get more money. Amen? Do a really good job. Until they ask you, why are you such a good worker? God, Jesus is in me. When they ask you, tell them, you know. But if you broadcast it, they all going to know. Because, see, people who broadcast stuff at work, the loudest people are not the most holy people. The loudest people in the wrong setting, I promise you, are not the most godly people. The godly people hold their peace. Amen? They are swift to hear, slow to speak. The mother folk are swift to speak and slow to hear. All right. Are we clear? So make the most of every opportunity. Don't mess up the opportunity. Don't mess it up. Make the most of it. Amen? Amen. All right. I hope I didn't offend you, because don't take it wrong. We shine for Jesus, but we don't shine on the boss's dime. Amen. Let's finish up here. Say, number my days. Look at Psalm 90, verse 12. Powerful scripture. It'll bless you. This is strong right here. Psalm 90, verse 12 says, so teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. That word number means to enumerate, to mention one by one. See that? Teach us to do what? Number our days. Why? That we may gain a heart of wisdom. New Living says, teach us to make the most of our time, that we may grow in wisdom. So then, number your days doesn't mean we're going to count days. It means that we're not just counting days, we're making days count. Making days count. For example, Jesus knew he only had 3.5 years. So he said in John 9 and 4, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night coming is coming when no one can work. So Jesus showed us that he numbered his days. Well, it's not like, you know, we talk about numbering days. It's not unlike the thing of the bucket list. You know, bucket list is things you want to do before you die. It's got a bucket list. But I think it's more like a destiny list. Things you should do before you die. Right? Now, bucket list is cool, you know, but all you have, listen, a bucket list only take money. You need money for bucket list stuff. Say money. Just need money for that. Get some money, go. Come back, you know. Our bucket list stays a bucket list because we don't have enough money to make it happen. But you still can do a lot of things. You can do everything God wants you to do, everything you should do in destiny. Now, number of our days will help bring greater focus. Example, let's say this. Let's say if you said, one of these days, I'm going to organize a mission trip to Nigeria, Africa. All right? Think about that statement. One of these days, I'm going to. Then what if you said, 8 weeks from now, I'll organize a mission trip to Nigeria? Right? How would you behave differently if you said in 8 weeks from today versus one of these days? Follow me? There's the time concept, the moment concept. Time concept, everything stays up in the air. But in the moment concept, when you say 8 weeks from now and put a date certain on that calendar, your whole mindset changes. You gain a heart of wisdom. See, God gives wisdom when you commit to him. What did I say? God, give me wisdom. God says, give me commitment. Give me a commitment. I give you wisdom. Why would God give you wisdom to do something we've not committed to do? He'll love you, he'll feed you, he'll clothe you, you'll be safe at night, but you won't get wisdom for a certain thing until you commit to God to do it. So, Lord, let us teach me to number my days that I may gain a heart of wisdom. When you number your days, God gives you wisdom to get things done. Now, I've proven that over and over again. I've seen that to be true. And sometimes the scary part is I commit to things not knowing, most of the time not knowing how to do it, not knowing what. I got some ideas, but I'm not clear at all on how to proceed with that. But when I commit to it and pray and have the right people around me and under authority, and I'll be having all things being equal, when I proceed, you know, in grace and in wisdom, or in grace and in commitment, the wisdom comes. And wisdom is this. Last point for today. Wisdom defined. Wisdom is the knowledge and experience needed to make sensible decisions and judgments, or the good sense shown by the decisions or judgments made. Accumulated knowledge of life in a particular sphere of activity that has been gained through experience. It's kind of complex, but it's a good definition. So the wisdom that comes to you when you commit, the knowledge comes. You've got some experiences maybe, but experiences need context. So when you commit, the experiences you've had and knowledge, it come together and it makes sense because now it's usable knowledge. You can learn stuff. Without some place to use it, you won't have a need to draw upon that. You follow me? I always thought that taking mathematics in high school, we took some geometry. What need geometry for? You know geometry. Then we came, we bought this building. I had to design the space. I used geometry, work out some of these spaces in here. Use some geometry in here. So it's funny how you think you don't need something. Be careful what you think you don't need. Just thank God for education, amen? Amen. Thank God for math. Tell your kids that, you know. Be glad about math. When I don't like this, take it. You're going to need it. I don't need it now. That's because you're young. When you get older, you have more demands, and wisdom is required. So when you commit, knowledge comes, experiences can make sense. He says you can make decisions that are sensible, have good judgments, have good sense shown by decisions and judgments. And all the things you've learned in the accumulation of your life begin to have a place. It's like having parts to a puzzle but no picture. When you hear from God, you got a picture and a place to put all those pieces you've had for a long time. God is faithful, isn't he? Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of time. Thank you for the time concept. But thank you, Father God, for the moments concept.